Kyla,
Casey,
and Carol.
And welcome back to the 101 Podcast. Very exciting episode we have for you today.
Hello, ladies, gentlemen, and other.
Everyone else. We love everyone who listens to this podcast.
Yeah, honestly, really, actually, thank you. This is our 40th episode. It's a big deal.
We're 40 today.
We're 40.
If you saw that post, that was us recording this 40th episode for you.
Mm-hmm. And I'm actually kind of glad that we're recording this on, like, a significant episode.
It's cool, yeah.
Because this is kind of a significant topic.
Wow.
Maybe. Depending on how spicy we get.
Should we open debate before we start to dive into this spicy topic?
I suppose we can.
Any points or motions?
Motion to open debate?
That is in order. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Debate is now open.
There
Why
we go.
Did I pause?
Caroline forgot.
I'm sorry. It's been a while.
And now that she said she paused, I'm going to leave the pause in for dramatic effect.
Well, I've been out of the game long enough that, like, I had a temporary lapse of memory. I'm also 40, apparently.
We're all 40, apparently.
We're having a really hard time.
Yeah.
Well, I hope, if you want to imagine what's going on right now, actually, Kyla might have posted the photo of us all sitting around. We're all wearing party hats, except for Caroline, who took
mine off because Kyla told me I look like Patrick.
Patrick Starr.
I'm not going to post that photo, but honestly, there were tears streaming down my face. Someday, I hope, we'll do a video episode where it's like, we'll actually film ourselves recording this because I think it would be really funny for you to see this.
Like maybe a Munlibs.
Yeah, like a Munlibs filmed. Yeah,
we could do a live stream.
That would be fun too. Regardless, I think it would be funny to film it, but I'd like to film because something you don't know about me is I cry when I laugh. So I cry a lot on this podcast. It's not like, you know, like racking sobs. Like
I've cut most of the tears out.
But I do cry. There's active tears running down my face. It's part of who I am, baby. That's just showbiz.
I told her to take a picture of me because I took a picture of her holding up her wine glass wearing a robe and like a party hat. Sitting on the floor,
you know, being
because I
tasteful.
Thought it was, yeah, because I thought it was funny. I said, here, take one of me. She points the camera at me and goes, oh my god. With your hair pulled back, and then wheezes. And then goes, you look like Patrick. And starts crying.
Okay, because she's wearing a pink, like, pointy party hat. And she just had no hair around her face. I don't know, I liked it. I'm not saying it was a bad look.
No, it was a bad look.
There's this one video of me from freshman year when we were going to Rocky Horror. So I'm wearing, sophomore year. Yes. And I'm wearing fishnets and boots, like heeled boots. And one of you two recorded me.
It was like,
if you remember from the SpongeBob SquarePants movie when Patrick is like a big like person in fishnets and like is walking with like super big strides.
Oh my God.
That's what it looked like.
Oh, it's so good.
I'm not going to post that
Mind
for
you. Kyla's also a very tall girl, so
I am.
Great dramatic effect to it.
Yeah, funny. I got a lot of leg.
All right. Thank you to all the people who let us know that we're funny and that they enjoyed the Munlibs episode.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Thank you for telling us.
We appreciate that.
We've gotten a lot of positive feedback on it, which is exciting because that was risky. But I'll also say we had a non-Mun related guest reach out to us about...
Potential guest.
I'm hoping that they're going to be a guest.
It's
really
so funny.
Exciting for me. He's a great friend of mine and Kyle's. You have both met him. He's wonderful and very funny. So hopefully, I'm not going to reveal him just yet, but he listens and he'll know who I'm talking about. I hope that he comes on.
It'd be good.
All right, so let's get down to business today.
Let's get down to business.
We're going to talk about something that we teased on the podcast last week.
Yep.
And probably several times before.
Yeah, I mean, people actually reached out to us and were like, are you going to do an episode on this? And we've danced around it enough, and it's definitely in the title of what this episode is, so we'll just come
out
and say
it. You already know what's going on.
We're going to do a little commentary on the fall 2019 College Model UN rankings, which are, of course, put out by Best Delegate. Want to give them credit for putting all the work.
It
comes into chasing down conferences for stats.
We know how that feels. Thank you to everyone who actually sent us stuff.
Yes,
we really do
totally.
Appreciate it. We were left unread sometimes.
Yep.
So thanks if you were a homie and didn't do that to us. And if you did do that, I remember.
All right. But we understand the work that goes into that. I mean, the time it must take to do all of those, I bet a lot of Excel sheets with a lot of numbers. So... before we get into the commentary, of course, a thank you to all Best Delegate staff for putting in the work to make those rankings possible.
Yeah.
I know a lot of
people... they pioneered it, really.
Yeah.
Like, they kind of set a lot of groundwork for what we're trying to do, and, you know, it connected the Mun world in, like, the first real way. Because I know that, like, speech and debate is sometimes, you know, like, taken over by actual athletic conferences and stuff, but that hasn't happened for Model UN, so, you know, Bestel is an athletic conference in itself.
Yeah. So, they kind of...
I appreciate that.
I see them as, like, the ESPN, and we're just, like, trying to do some commentary on the rankings.
We're just, like, the weird little radio show.
I think we said that we were Fox Sports.
We were trying to figure out what sports station or conglomerate we were if Bestel is ESPN.
Yeah. Yeah, I watch a lot of soccer, and that's on Fox Sports, and they do a good job. Yeah. They have some cool people on there.
Are we cool people?
I mean, I'd hope so.
Maybe we're more like Sky Sports.
No!
All right. That's British. I can't come from them.
I mean, with that being said, I feel like there's a necessary disclaimer that we have to say that, you know, we're not criticizing any of the teams. We're not criticizing any of the methodology. We're just making comments about it because at the end of the day, Mun is difficult. And every team puts in a lot of hard work, and, you know, it's very much something you commit a lot of time to. So we and everybody else on the circuit definitely appreciates that time. We just want to start a conversation about it because this is one of the main things is, you know, one of the reasons that we started the podcast. This is something that we've talked about before and something that we feel really passionate about. So I feel like, or we all feel like, rather, that it would be valuable to just, you know, kind of put some thoughts out there.
Yeah. So I guess I'll just start with some very general comments about everything. Mm-hmm. For one, I personally feel Casey was kind enough to create a matrix for us, dating all the way back to 2015.
I think that was the first full rankings.
Yeah, that's the first ones that they did.
And mind
you, 4 years running.
All the comparisons we're going to be doing are fall to fall.
Yeah, not
years rather than like fall to spring, because I do think like the fall rankings are very different than the spring in that, like, you know, there's a different set of conferences out. You know, there's just a very different landscape for fall versus spring. So when we say, you know, from this year to last year, we're talking about from fall 2019 to fall 2018.
Yeah, and we can. And when spring rankings come out, we can do this again to talk about that because people, I don't know, some people are really seasonal teams, which that's not shade. It's just kind of the fact. So looking at this, I am excited by these rankings because I feel like there was quite a bit of movement and movement that I didn't expect.
I agree.
And keep in mind, I'm not on the circuit anymore, and Caroline's not on the circuit anymore, so we don't directly see how people are performing in committee, but we do, because of all of the conference reviews we do, we kind of know how everyone's been doing, from, like, a really bird's eye sort of space, and we've, you know, we talk about this all the time, this is our second job in many ways, so we talked a lot about, like, ooh, this is interesting, because, like, I haven't seen this name come up, or I haven't seen this name come up. And it's nice to see that that's actually been reflected in the rankings because, you know, coming from a team that's always been considered a small team, and I mean, we are smaller from, you know, a size standpoint and a funding standpoint, it's kind of cool to see that it's not stagnant.
Yeah.
And that things can change.
It's possible to move.
It's possible to move. And it's hard, but you can do it. And also, some of the big dogs can fall. They're not infallible. And, I mean, I'm not, people have off seasons. I'm not trying to say that they're gone forever, but, you know, they have tough seasons. I will also say credit where it is due. UChicago has been number one since fall of 2015.
There's something in their still water.
Insanity.
Lord, man.
What a team.
What is that?
And I mean, credit where credit is due. It's an incredible school.
Oh, yeah.
Incredible team. Great diplomacy program there. They're a great team, but it is insanity to hold it for that long.
Ridiculous.
And for this first part here, we're definitely going to be talking about, like, team movements, and then we'll move more into conference movements and touch on maybe, like, they always have that part that's, like, changes in methodology, so we can touch on that a little bit, too. But the one highlight I really wanted to talk about as well, kind of, like, at the very top of the rankings, I think, you know, top five is, feels pretty, like, oh, the same teams are always kind of moving around within it.
Yeah.
But so since fall 2015, it's really been, like, between Harvard and FIU for that number two spot after UChicago. And this year, American slid into that number two spot.
Congratulations.
Congrats. Like, as we've been doing the fall recaps, we've been like, wow, American's really on a roll this
season.
They
really
know.
They
really wrecked.
So congrats, guys, for moving up to number two. That's really great. And you know, all these rankings, I'm very interested to see how they're going to carry over to spring semester to see, like, you know, can American go for that number one spot? I honestly think, like, they could be a contender.
They're a really great team. They have some really cool delegates, and I like the way that they do MUN, and that I feel like, and we've kind of said this, people coming from big schools that do big conferences kind of have a very similar style of MUN, where it's, like, the aggressive in debate, sort of, you know, by the book sort of approach, and I feel like American's a little less like that and a little bit more creative. So mm-hmm. I think that's kind of cool to see that style succeed so much.
Also, congrats to UC Berkeley from going from 16th to 4th. That's a huge jump.
Huge jump.
I can't say that any of us have competed against any UC Berkeley teams because they're a West Coast team.
Yeah,
and we're an East Coast team.
I know they did have success over in the East Coast, though. Mm-hmm. I don't have the exact rankings pulled up because we're just really looking at, like, a list number to team that we made, but I think this, like, a lot of the rankings show, and maybe this is something we can get into a little later, but it seems like they and from the rankings of the conferences they put out, they definitely reweighted a lot of the conferences, and even with the reweighting, it seems like there's less of a difference, like, smaller of a gap between, you know, Upmunk and, like, say, a Kayak.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely an interesting change, and one that will definitely benefit West Coast teams moving forward.
Yeah.
Especially, like, if East Coast teams are going out West and you can dominate, you know, two or three conferences, I think there's two that happen out West Coast. If you can dominate those two conferences, you can land in top 15.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And, yeah, I think we'll talk a little bit more later because, I mean, I, for one, definitely have some qualms with the ranking system and the methodologies, but that is neither here nor there for right now. I'd also just like to say congrats to UVA. They broke in to the top 25 this time around and at a really high spot, going from not in the top 25 to 10th. That's pretty impressive.
They've been in the top 25 before.
They just weren't last year. So, you know, that's also a really interesting to note that you can come back from dropping out of the top 25. People have tough years and it could be funding. It could be lack of participation. It could be a million other things. You could be the best team in the world and drop out just because of, you know, circumstances.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I think some other teams that had been in the rankings and then weren't last fall but have re-entered, UMiami and BU, and Clark is back in since 2015. So congrats to all those teams for re-entering the top 25.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I know a lot of people work really hard to get into those spots, so... You know, congrats on working hard and getting there.
Congrats. Speaking of Clark, special shout out to them. And also Wilfred Laurier from last year, who is in the top 25, is not, unfortunately, this time around. For schools that I didn't know. So respect. Coming from a school that a lot of people don't know. Keep grinding. I love that. Like, I think there's nothing better than a smaller school that's like, you know, people wouldn't know off the offset. Like, going out and fully competing with, you know, big names like UChicago, which is, like, one of the biggest and most prestigious universities in the nation. So,
yeah, it's definitely, you know, speaking from experience of, like, being top 50 for a while and a while and a while, like, going head-to-head, like, when you go to a conference, you're kind of ticking off, like, what top 25 teams are going to be at this conference, and you're kind of, like, not like you're dreading the type of delegates you're going to see, like, you're...
Kind of are.
Well, I mean, like, you're not like, oh my gosh, I hate people from blah, blah, blah. Yeah. It's more like, oh my gosh, I know they're so good. Or, like, I know, like, they do MUN really aggressively. I'm like, not like that's a bad thing. We had that whole discussion in that other episode we did. But, like, you definitely know you're going into a much tougher, like, competitive room when you're walking into a bigger conference with these bigger name schools. So that's kind of what you need to do to get up into the top 25 is to go up to these schools and, you know, compete with them and win. And, you know, it's always a tough thing trying to adjust and to get into that flow to start winning those types of awards or even winning more at smaller conferences. Yeah. So,
yeah. Also, another congrats to Seton Hall for getting into the top 25 for the first time.
Mm-hmm. First time in history.
First time in history.
Which is very cool. Another smaller team that's worked really hard to get where they're at.
And an interesting note and something that, like, I kind of touched on before is that best delegate specifically noted that Seton Hall benefited from the reweighting of conferences they had done, which is showing that, like, going to smaller conferences and winning a lot of awards at these smaller conferences will weigh very heavily in the rankings. And they noted this at the top, that best delegate wrote something like, winning a lot of awards at a smaller conference is going to weigh more than winning, like, one or two awards at a big conference.
Which is better. It's better that it's that way.
I mean, yeah, I think hopefully that will promote teams to going to smaller conferences and trying to make more of an even playing field across the board than, like, really hard versus really easy, just kind of making it more of a similar competition all around.
And I think financially, that's really beneficial to teams, because sometimes you can't go all the way to these really big conferences and you're only near small ones.
Like West Coast teams.
Exactly. So it's like, that's super not fair if you're being judged off of that.
Yeah, so I definitely think, you know, we are definitely touching in the methodology right now, but I think their methodology improved much for the better this year, and I definitely think it was a lot fairer to teams who attended all types of conferences.
And not to put out any shade, but to discuss some teams that dropped out of the top 25 this time around, West Point was a surprise for me.
That is surprising.
They've really been in the top 25 for a while.
Yeah, they have. And they consistently, when I've competed against them, have had some really fantastic delegates. That was kind of surprising.
I know they got a Dell Award at 60.
They did. But I will say, going through all of the conference recaps, we did not see their name that often. So, I mean, it's not like it's unexpected. Queen's University, also shocking.
And their conference also was not ranked. So I wonder if there was someone didn't send stats in or... I almost feel like that's it, because they've been ranked for...
consistently.
The last 2 years as a conference, so I wonder if there was something like nobody ended up sending awards in, which is unfortunate for them, and also, you know, unfortunate for the people who are trying to include them in rankings. If that's the case, I don't know.
Because they've consistently also been, you know, a force to compete against. They're, they're a really good team, especially at Kayak. We've had some interactions with them, and they're very good, so. Who else? UNC, Chapel Hill. Dropped out, but they were only at 24th last time around, so, you know, being on the edge is
That's always a cusp area to be on.
Cusp is tough. Same with Wilfrid Laurier at 25th last year.
And I know Unkmunk, so UNC's conference happened this fall, and I know that, and Best Delegate does note that fall teams, like fall conference holding teams, definitely don't have that advantage, and Unkmunk was rated higher this year, so maybe, you know, better conferences going on, and then they hit well in the spring, we could see them definitely rise up back into the top 25.
Absolutely. And especially since that's such a tough conference, and, you know, at least in my experience, most teams have overlap from their competitive team and their hosting team. It's very likely that some of their heavy hitters weren't even traveling for a lot of fall.
So that makes sense.
Very true.
It's possible.
One big kind of, like, asterisk that I thought was really interesting was that, so you get the top 25, you get the closest to the top 25, which is always, I think, an interesting area to look at. We didn't, unfortunately, analyze it in this, but, you know, definitely congrats to the teams that made it there. I remember us being in the top 50, like, all we wanted was to be in the, like, teams who were closest.
That was honestly the goal,
Like, we were always trying to reach that, so, like, honestly, congrats on, like, moving up and, like, being on the cusp. That's a great position to be in for the spring. You could really hit that home next semester into the top 25. But moving down into the top 75, they had, like, a note that, you know, I'm, obviously, none of us are on the best delegate team, so we can't tell you exactly how they do this. I'm pretty sure you have to win one award at least one ranked conference to get onto the rankings, to have the possibility of getting onto the rankings, but they had noted that less than 75 teams did that this year. And I don't remember that being the case last year.
No, I feel like it's always interesting.
I think I counted about 67-ish that were on the...
Which is, I don't know, I feel like seeing the spread of awards is always interesting. And, like, because, you know, we attended a lot of quote-unquote smaller conferences and lower-ranked conferences. And I feel like my freshman year, especially, there was a much larger spread of schools that were getting awards.
Yeah.
Which was interesting. And then going into my final year, it was more like each conference would have, like, their big boy. Yeah. That would pull, like, you know, 10, 11 or more awards. And then the rest were scattered.
Yeah, I feel like
That has nothing to do with best delegate or rankings. I just think that that's an interesting trend.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like there were definitely a couple conferences where you could go in and you could be like, oh, that team's there, they're getting a delegation award.
I don't know. I feel like it was less like you could predict it. It was more like... it would just happen. Like, suddenly there would be this one team out of left field and they pulled, like, 13 awards and it was just, like, what it is. And not because they don't deserve it. I'm not, like, trying to say there's a conspiracy or anything. It's just, like...
Big Model UN conspiracy.
I
T-shirt. I need a T-shirt that...
My hope, if I'm being very optimistic, is that culture is changing on the circuit.
Hopefully.
And teams are becoming more emphasized. And when your team's doing well, you're doing really well.
Yeah.
And that people kind of build off of each other's energies, which is why full teams do better now, rather than just, like, you know, scattered awards. That's what I hope that it is.
Yeah. That's definitely an interesting point to make. I think there could be several reasons for this. Like, one, just less teams are out there competing.
That's true.
Yeah. And I don't really know what would cause that. I mean, certainly clubs can, I don't know, this is die out, I guess. But I don't know how much that happens on the Model UN circuit. I guess another thing could be, and this is something I think about a lot, is maybe smaller teams that would do well at certain conferences are electing to go to much more difficult conferences. And so it's harder for them to award, but if they had selected a different conference, they could definitely be on the, like, tally. Because I know a lot of teams will only go to one or two conferences, and they'll pick something like a Nixick or an Upmunk or a Chomun, which Chomun's in the spring, but those are all very highly ranked. You know, everyone on the circuit understands that they're very competitive conferences. So when you're sending, you know, only one delegation to one conference a semester, which, you know, we've all been on a team that does that, but our team would send them to smaller conferences where it's definitely, like, a more fair... I mean, it's...
A competition that is more suited to who we were.
Yeah, and there are... At these bigger conferences, there are a lot more delegates.
Yeah.
You know, it's
a very, lot more quantitative competition.
It's definitely a very aggressive... and again, like, when we say aggressive, if you want to hear our full thoughts on this... I could pull up the episode number sometime after I finish saying this thought, but it's just a different style of MUN. And for especially someone who doesn't go to a lot of competitions, experiencing that straight off the bat when you're used to practicing with your own teammates is a very jarring thing,
daunting,
I would say.
Yeah.
So maybe it's teams going to conferences that aren't suited for the style of MUN they're doing.
And I pulled up the actual Best Delegate article rather than our matrix, and going back to the, we were talking about the top five teams, the next top five teams that were going to break in the rankings. It was West Point, Wheaton College, College of the Canyons, UC Santa Barbara, and Notre Dame. So West Point, as we said, really consistently good team.
Yeah, so I'm not shocked that they're right there.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I just read Clark University's description, apparently, they've been in the top 25 for the past 3 years in spring, so I'm sorry for saying that I didn't know who you
were.
They
might be one of the people that have a fall conference. They might not have done the fall conference.
I don't think they have a collegiate. No. I think I've definitely seen they have a big Instagram for their high school conference.
Yeah, they said that over the past 3 years, they've paced top 50 in the fall and relied on a second-half performance to end up in the top 25. Yeah.
Which is so definitely something that happens.
Absolutely. Because
that's why we're comparing fall to fall and not spring to spring. When it comes to spring, which when we say spring... That's, like, counting fall and spring. Like, that's the full
year. It's, like, world, like, total rankings for the division.
So
we can support a second-half team.
Yeah. I mean, definitely there are
our basketball team's a second-half team.
Yeah.
We're in
Listen, man.
But, yeah, congrats to Clark. Sorry for saying I didn't know who you were. Seems like you're actually cool. So, congrats. you know, Queens, as we said, another great school. They're also in the top 50. So... They're in contention as well.
Also, I found out our past episode talking about conference rankings and our overall thoughts on them. Episode number 28, if you want to head over there.
Yeah, give us other listens. It's good for our analytics.
Please, our analytics want it.
Yep. Please. Wow, there's a lot of UC schools that are in contention, which is very cool.
Yeah. And like I was saying, and we discussed, California conferences, like, seem to be being weighted more.
Mm-hmm.
I mean... Maybe we can kind of transition to talking about how the conferences were weighted.
Yeah.
But that is definitely something interesting to discuss that I think has big changes for this year.
Yeah.
But it seems that even though there were big shifts in rankings, the differences between tiers is becoming less and less, which go listen to episode 28 and maybe you'll like get some more context. But I definitely think the rankings are headed in a good direction.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it is definitely getting more fair. If I'm... Okay. My biggest qualm with... the rankings And I think that they're consistently updating them every time they go around the methodology
changes. It's difficult to try to pinpoint how you're going to do this.
Because, I mean, if you were really to equal people out, you could, in my opinion, the only way that you could really get it fair is if you did, like, divisions of some kind based on, like, financial aptitude and stuff.
Which, that would be hard.
You can't do that. Yeah. Like, you can't ask teams for their finances to try and rank them. But I personally think there's a really big disparity between teams that can afford to go to, like, every single conference in the fall versus teams that can go to, like, three or two. And that's really hard to break into the rankings, even if at those two conferences you kill it and you're really good.
Yeah.
I mean, inevitably, a team that has a bigger budget is going to, you know, pull more. I think that you could amend that by only counting, like, your best four conferences or your best five conferences, or for total year rankings, capping it at, like, a number. But, I mean, they don't do that. And that's, like, my biggest issue with it is I know that there are teams that are in the top 25 that go to, like, every single conference ever. It's, like, crazy. And even conferences that aren't ranked and don't even count just for practice.
Yeah.
Which is wild to me. And I'm not criticizing them. We would all do that if we could.
Oh, yeah.
But it's kind of tough.
Yeah, and maybe, like, in the future sometime, if we discuss it, we'll do a more in-depth episode about analyzing, like, how many conferences does it take to get into the rankings, because, like...
Yeah, that's interesting.
We have definitely seen that, like, attending... I mean, certainly doing well at the conferences you attend plays a big part, because if you attend five and don't get... If you get, like, two awards at each, that's not going to do a lot for you, but...
But the more you go to, the better you do.
Definitely correlated, like...
It's more practice.
You get more practice at these conferences. You get, you know, the chance to pull more awards, and every award is starting to count towards this big total at the end, so...
And I mean, yeah, and not to name names, but, like, our team went from going to three conferences per semester, or two conferences a semester, often, to way more than that, and now we're ranked way higher.
Yeah, I mean, like, we used to go our freshman year to one conference a semester.
Yeah, one conference a semester.
And this past semester, we had three.
Yeah.
And we're doing five this semester.
Yeah.
It's
insane.
It's a lot. And that's great.
But it's worked. So maybe we'll have an episode in the future to discuss that, but for now,
I do think a lot of it is practice.
Yeah.
And just... Especially with freshman delegates, the more
exposure,
can give them, the better they're gonna do. But that's for another time. Sorry for getting off topic.
Conference. Let's just break down the conference list again as best delegate has ranked them, because I want people to, like, I know they know we're doing best delegate. I just want them to realize, like, all this work that has gone into rankings.
We're not ranking anything.
We're not ranking it. The work that has gone into has been done by best delegate.
Maybe.
So, first tier, which, you know, the tiers go from 1 to 6, 1 being the hardest, 6 being the quote-unquote easiest.
Yeah.
I mean, none of them are
easy. I mean, they rank them difficulty, prestige, that kind of thing.
Yeah. So, the only one in the first tier is UpMunk, which has been in the first tier for fall conferences since they started ranking conferences.
Forever.
Notorious, very hard conference. Yes.
Very big, very hard. That's, like, the big boy to go to.
That's UPenn's conference, by the way.
So, the next one is NCSC. NCSC, if you don't, like, abide by how we pronounce things.
Yeah, which I don't think about, but you say NCSC, and nobody who does mod is going to know that.
There are no vowels in that. Which has also been, this is the second tier, which has been in the second tier since they started ranking them. Third tier, the only one there right now is Barmon, which is Boston University, right?
Yep.
Sorry, NCSC is Georgetown. The only one in the fourth tier this time, which is something we'll get into later, is C-Money, which is Columbia's. Fifth tier is UncMonk, which is UNC. And Trojanmon, which I believe is a West Coast?
It is. It's Southern California.
Yeah.
Okay. I didn't want to sound stupid, but I'm like, I don't think that's East Coast. And then sixth tier is Sixy, which is the Ales.
S-C-S-Y. S-C-S-Y. Yeah. Also, we talked about this in the Sixy recap.
Apparently they call it Sexy.
Stop. I'm demoting that. You're not ranked at all.
Well, in Kyla's mind, she's
in,
like,
in my mind, Sixy doesn't count for anything.
Well, because my thing is, like, if someone asks you what conference you're going to and you're like, oh, Sexy, they're like, what?
No.
So, sixth tier is Sixy, Kayak, which is Cornell's, and SBIMon.
Another West Coast team. I think it's Santa Barbara.
Invitational. I'm guessing. Because I know PDI is Princeton Diplomatic Invitational.
There we go.
I'm pretty sure. Okay. But I feel like there's a lot to unpack with these rankings here.
Yes, there are.
First of all, just to get the ones that stayed the same out of the way.
Yep.
Upmonk still ranked first. Caroline mentioned. That's a staple. Nixxix still ranked second. Caroline mentioned that. Still a staple.
Tough conference.
Barmon ranked third. Still ranked third.
Staple. She been there.
All right. C-Money.
I think
we'll get to the changes in rankings.
That have stayed.
Yeah, yeah, and from the past year, the ones that have stayed. I guess we can hit on first.
Discon is not in the rankings. Q-Money is not in the rankings. Those are the only two that I see from fall 2018 that aren't there.
I would like a little more info on what happened with that. I don't know if it's just that they didn't send any of their stats in. Like we said with Queens, they're not, you know. But they are in the top 50.
There was an excerpt saying at the top that, like, the rankings had been delayed, which we never really touched on, but I kind of understand from seeing that blurb. Yeah. Like, I get it. Nobody harsh on Best L because getting stats from people is kind of a nightmare sometimes.
It's so exhausting.
But they had said, like, we couldn't put out the rankings until some, like, major conferences got stats back to us. So I wonder if this was a problem that they had with multiple conferences.
Well, and if you gotta punish people by not ranking them, it is what it is. It's unfortunate, at least in my opinion, for those who attended. That's really sad that your stuff wasn't included because, you know, some staffers didn't want to send stats over.
Yeah, especially, you know, you spent a lot of money to go to that conference.
A lot of money. So that's really disappointing. And that's all that I'll say about that because I don't want to get too bitter. I think it's very interesting how they added an extra level this time around. Mm-hmm.
They haven't had a sixth year since fall 2016, mind you.
Which, I understand that they're trying to be as specific as possible with allocating results and weights of awards.
Because that definitely changes places.
It does. And I get that. But I think it's a little... Okay. So basically, we're going to talk about the changes.
Yeah.
C-Money dropped down to fourth tier below Barmon.
Yeah, they dropped one tier down.
It was equal to Barmon last year.
Mm-hmm.
I did not attend either of those conferences. Clearly. I don't do Mon anymore. But...
Clearly.
But as far as I've heard, they're both very good conferences, and they're both solid. It's hard for me to give perspective on whether or not I think either of those conferences should be ahead or below each other, because I haven't been to them.
It's hard to compare, like, one to another.
Exactly.
When you haven't been to both. Because I went to Barmon this year, but I can't compare Barmon to C-Money because I didn't go to C-Money this year. And I feel like there's very few delegates. I feel like there's no delegates on the circuit who went to every single conference on this list. So it's very hard to give perspective like that.
Exactly. Moving forward to different changes. Fourth tier, last year, had a bunch of teams in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was 6E, Trojan Mon, SBI Mon, Unk Monk, Kayak, and Q-Money were all in that tier. This is where I get a little bit bitter. Because, so below C-Money now drops UNC Monk and Trojan Mon. Haven't been to either of those conferences. Nope. I'm sure that they're fine.
Is it Unk Monk?
Unk Monk? UNC Monk?
I feel like that's such a mouthful.
See, it's one of those where it's just...
You never know.
I don't know. Because I never would have guessed that it was sexy.
Yeah.
Canceled. So now the lowest tier is 6E, Kayak, and SBI Mon. I don't agree. I don't know if it's fair to drop conferences that much lower than they were valued at last year, because based on my experiences, conferences do change from year to year, but not that much.
They don't change.
No. It takes a long time for conference,
that's
like actual institutional conference change to come into play.
And I'm wondering, here's my thing, I'm wondering if they dropped C-Money and they were like, because C-Money was a third tier conference, if they dropped the rest of them and they were like, well, these couldn't possibly be equal to a third tier conference.
That's fair.
And then they dropped them.
That's
right.
But I
still don't think that's fair, because if you drop one, then you're essentially allocating it to the fourth tier and have to compare it to
those. Yeah, I think it's weird that they allowed themselves to add an extra tier. Like, I think that's strange, because if you're trying to keep it within the same... like, frame of reference, adding an extra tier kind of throws that all off, because what's the frame of reference at that point?
I'm so interested, because I know we can't peer into the algorithms that Best Delegate uses, but...
Maybe we'll ask. Can we talk about it? Let's expose you right now.
No! We're not trying to expose, we're just trying to discuss.
No, I mean, share with the public.
But, so I feel like I can... talk a little bit about 6E and Kayak, because they're in the same level, and I attended both conferences this year.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm interested Because, okay, so I'm trying to, like, speak off of what I know because of what I've read on the methodology of Best Delegate. But I know they take into account, like, number of top 25 teams attending. I don't know if they take in, like, I don't know how you would call it, like, quote-unquote, like, diversity of awards, like, multiple teams winning rather than just, like, one team kind of sweeping it all. I don't know if somebody can pull up
Yeah, I can pull it up while you're talking.
But I find I feel like comparing 60 to Kayak is kind of apples to oranges, because at 60, there were many more top 25 teams going that I can recall, like, off the top of my head, because I know FIU was there, I know McGill was there, I know West Point was in the top, was not in the top 25, but West Point was there, Princeton was there, like, a lot of top 25 teams mm-hmm. from this semester were there. Seton Hall was there,
mm-hmm.
But I know at Cornell there were less top 25 teams, but at the same point, I think 60 had less delegates attending. And this isn't, I haven't compared the actual numbers, I'm just saying, like, what I recall mm-hmm. memory-wise from, like, being there. At 60, my committee room was 5, versus, like, ooh, at Kayak, 20. My committee room was, like, 16, and they were both JCCs that I was in, because, of course. But maybe you can shed some light on how they
So, based on their methodologies article that they posted in 2011 and 2012, but they still refer to and link in the article that they just posted for 2019.
Okay, because I know it's changed a little bit.
So, I'm just going to go off of this. This is how they weigh conferences. Every conference is assigned a multiplier based on our internal algorithm that takes into account total size of the conference, the delegate-to-committee ratio, number of top 50 teams present, and the distribution of awards among award-winning teams. So, yes, they do take that into account.
I think distribution is really important, because I know that Kayak, and we discussed this mm-hmm. in the episode, and it is written in the Best Delegate Review that Seton Hall's entry says that at Kayak, they won as many gavels as all the other teams combined.
Which is
maybe that
a lot.
adversely affected Kayak's rankings for this year.
And that's fair, and to be honest, when I was talking about conferences where one team will really pull, Kayak was who I was thinking of. Because I feel like every year that we've gone to Kayak, there's been one team that sweeps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't know why that is. Wheaton's done really well there. Like, people have swept at Kayak consistently for at least mm-hmm. the past 4 years in my memory. But it's never teams that are consistent, so it's not like they're choosing their friends.
It's always, like, rotating.
It's very, I don't know why that happens.
It's like a weird anomaly where one team will show out for a year and really dig in their heels. And
but
like,
it's just there, though.
But it's just there.
It's very weird.
Yeah, I don't know, but at Barmon,
I also don't know what their algorithm, mm-hmm. though, is. Because some conferences post, like, their rubrics and what they choose. Mm-hmm. Kayak doesn't.
Yeah.
Not saying that they have to, but
yeah. If you're on Kayak Secretariat and you have a theory as to why this is,
or you want to send us your algorithm, I'd love to see it. Oh my gosh, I think that would be so
interesting. Oh my god, collect the algorithms.
Okay, episode, send us your algorithms and we'll compare them, and then I'll judge you. I'm going to make my own conference rating based on how you do your algorithm.
Oh my gosh. But what I was going to say is, like, even at big conferences, mm-hmm. I mean, the big conferences I've been to really are Barmon and Anmon, if you count that as a big conference, which I feel like a lot of people don't, but, like, it feels...
Anmon's tough.
It feels like it's kind of starting to get into the realm of, like,
also,
a
William
Barmon.
& Mary is a very competitive team, consistently top 25,
They were ranked 21st, I think, this semester.
Congratulations.
But nice what I was going to say is, even at Barmon, like, it felt like, quote-unquote, a little, like, more diverse, but mm-hmm. there were, like, three teams that, like, you would get to, you know, honorable, outstanding, and then we'd, like, try to guess which one of the three teams. It was, like, honorable, outstanding, and everyone's like, you Chicago or American, and it's like, oh, did we get it or not? Oh, we got it most of the time.
I feel like it happens. Kind of felt that at Anmon as well.
Yeah, I mean,
like, FSU did great at Anmon. They really pulled, and there are a few other teams that did really well there, too, but...
But, I mean, again, plugging episode number 28, we talk about how, you know, certain teams train in certain styles, and sometimes those styles, like, really align for what certain conferences are mm-hmm. attending. Like, say you attend Barmon every single year, you kind of know at this point, if you're a senior and you've gone to Barmon since you're a freshman, you know exactly what Barmon's looking mm-hmm. for. Mm-hmm. You could tell your freshman what Barmon's looking for. And it's not a way of cheating, it's just a way of, like, I'm experienced and I'm passing on the knowledge to my team, you know?
Exactly. In that same sort of vein, I do think that there's a correlation between a school's competitive team and their hosting team and what they look for. Mm-hmm. So if a team is really compatible with another competing team, you're probably going to do better at their conference. So I think that it does all come down to style.
Yeah, I mean, like, if our school hosted a collegiate conference, we definitely look for, I don't know, like,
based on the one that I like, who did
the
one
that I think is a successful one, and that one, the like Model UN that I see, and that I think, like, wow, they did a fantastic job, might be completely different from what a different conference would look like. But it's just based off of like what we do and what we, you know, again, number 28 really goes in depth about this, but
essentially, concluding thoughts, Caroline, of this episode is that one. MUN is incredibly subjective depending on where you are, who's judging, you know, who you're talking to, whatever, whatever. Also, side note, completely unrelated to MUN rankings, but related to cheating. Please. This is not to call anyone out, and we're not
because we're not going to say not you're gonna do
that. And it's also, like,
it doesn't
matter. We haven't said anything about it publicly, so, like, you wouldn't know better.
So, please don't DM us for help on position papers or help writing position papers.
Or help researching.
Or help researching or what you should research or, like, how a position is important or anything that, like, anything that should be done on your own, basically, for conference or within your team, asking teammates for, don't ask us for help. Because we are not on your team. We don't give out individualized help, you know. We also have jobs, and we're in, some of us are in school, and, like, we work, and we do stuff, and we have stuff. We have lives outside of this.
And I don't want this, like, to sound too harsh, because, like, I get it. We're definitely here, and we pose ourselves as people who are, like, we want to help you out. We want to teach you how to do Model UN better.
And it's humbling to be asked.
Yeah.
Like, thank you for asking and thinking that we're capable enough to help you.
We have articles on how to research your position. And, you know, maybe we'll write a one on position papers because people ask us a lot. But we're never going to write a position paper for you. No. We're never going to do, like, don't DM us asking, like, why is this very specific thing this very specific way? It's things that could be done through your own research to prepare is what we're asking you to do on your own. We're just trying to give you the tools to be able to do that. And a very big pet peeve of mine, and something that we will absolutely never, ever do, and we hope that none of our listeners ever participate in, is buying or selling position papers.
Please, no. Oh my God.
That is 1,000% cheating, and that is inauthentic, and if you depend on the work of someone else to succeed, you did not succeed.
No.
And we've kind of seen a trend of that becoming a thing, and I think that that's super disappointing.
Yeah. People posting selling position papers, don't take them up on the offer. Please don't, like,
just write it yourself. You're capable enough to do it.
And it'll teach, even if you think, I'm not going to get a position paper award, it's okay, because by writing it,
you
are
improving.
Would you
rather win by something you didn't write? Like,
that's
what
not,
a waste of your
that's
time.
That's not your award, then.
I don't know. We just, we're MUN purists, in a way. And I think we all really agree that the whole point of doing MUN is self-betterment and learning and growing, and you aren't doing that if you're depending on someone else's work, be it ours or anybody else's. So as much as we're grateful that you would consider us to be a source of information for you, we will never accept a situation like that, and we're never going to say yes. No. So just refrain from asking.
Also, if you do it from the Monday that it goes out, if you continue to DM us about it after we've said don't, and you ask for help on a position paper and you get a response that's just google.com, that was sent by me. I sent that. This is Caroline.
She's either gonna send, if it's like a question that could be Googled, she'll send Google, but if it's a question that, like, can you write my position paper? You should just send them the timestamp of this, like, rant at the end of the episode.
Ooh, yes. That's good.
Be like, actually, go listen to, like, episode 40 at whatever time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have some really good tips on that.
Exactly.
That's good.
Especially if you're a high school or middle school delegate. Just because we're in college doesn't mean that we're smart.
No.
You can do it. Like,
look.
It's okay.
Kyla's working a full-time job.
I do.
Caroline is doing a master's degree and working a part-time job. And I'm also going to undergrad and writing my thesis and traveling with the team. So we're all quite busy people.
We have things to do.
And it's just, like, morally and ethically, in my opinion, it's just, like, just ask your team. Because that's, like, I agree with teamwork and getting help from your team and editing and whatever.
Hey, teamwork, like, makes the dream work.
It sure do. But we're not part of your team as much as we are part of the Mono One team.
But so thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening
to this.
I hope you liked
long episode.
Everything we said.
Let us know if you want to hear more of us reporting on, like, you know, kind of like a Jordan Klepper style, you know, Jordan Klepper on the Pulse or whatever the title is.
I don't know what you're talking about. I'm going to be honest. I don't know who that is.
We're about to watch some YouTube after this.
I just said because I didn't want to seem dumb. I didn't want to sound stupid. But I don't know what that is.
let us know if you want us to talk more about, like, what's going on the circuit today, because we've tossed around an idea of, like, you know, getting some, like, news and information from you guys to be able to, like, report on it and maybe even do, like, a little segment before episodes that's, like, current college news kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's fun.
But with that being said, are we ready to make some motions here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are there any more?
Yep.
Are there any more?
Are there any motions to close debate?
Motion to close debate?
That's in order. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Debate's now closed.
Point of information, what are your social medias?
You can follow us on Instagram at Mono1Podcast, and you can email us any questions or comments that you may have at mono1.business@gmail.com.
And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate and review us.